Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Six Goswamis of Vrindavan are being described. In glorification of great devotees, that is the duty of other devotees, they should praise. They should praise by mentioning what are the qualities and activities. Just like we have the prayer to Srila Prabhupada, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminati Namine, Namaste Saraswate Deve Gorvani Pucharini, Nirvisheshunyavadi Paschatade Shatarne. So the first of these two stanzas is, we can say it's a generic praise for all spiritual masters that was first composed by one of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in praise of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who accepted disciples, they all have this as their pranam mantra, offering respectful obeisances to the spiritual master who is called Vishnupad. Haribhakti Vilas also mentions that the spiritual master is generally addressed as Vishnupad, one who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, who is very dear to Lord Krishna in this world. And then the name is given. In this case, we know Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Then what are his specific activities? Namaste, we offer respectful obeisances to him. Saraswati Devi, he is the servant of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Gauravani Pracharine, he is preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitane. And in this way, delivering the Western countries, which are filled with voidism and impersonalism. But generally, the disciples, they compose some prayers describing the glories and specific activities of the spiritual master. There are many such prayers composed. Srinivasa Acharya, he was studying under Jiva Goswami, and of course at that time, maybe in Rup Sanatan, I think they already passed away. Their memory was there, and of course even now we can offer our respectful obeisances to Rupa and Sanatan. But at that time, just after the passing away of Rupa and Sanatan, certainly everyone in Vrindavan would be speaking of them, such great personalities that had just at that time been there. Just like now we're always talking about Srila Prabhupada, because he was just in this world just a few years ago. And you'll find that great acharyas, their activities, they are discussed on and on, even many years after they pass away. You'll find in the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, even today, the followers, they like to discuss the glories of Ramanuja Acharya and the acharyas or the alvas before him and the acharyas after him. And in all the sampradayas, in Madhva Sampradaya, they praise Sripad Madhvacharya. He did like this. He wrote like this. What is his commentary on this verse? So that is the tradition to glorify the acharyas. Not only tradition, but it is a natural expression of thankfulness. Not only acharyas, but any devotee. Now we find in our Krishna conscious movement that even now many devotees, they may be being practicing Krishna conscious for 20 years or 25 years, and they still remember those devotees who in the beginning stages of their Krishna consciousness, they helped them, guided them, gave them prasadam, gave them encouragement, and helped them to come to Krishna consciousness. So that is a natural expression of gratefulness, that who is giving us Krishna consciousness, we must be very grateful, because there's no greater gift in this world. There is no other gift. Anything else is shallow and empty. So the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were very much interested in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in the material universe. And their primary activity in executing missionary activities, the first of all activities, is Krishna Utkirtan. Krishna Utkirtan, this means. Krishna Utkirtan means Krishna Utkirtan, means very loudly, very enthusiastically, they were chanting. Hare Krishna Iti Uchai, that's also described. There's one prayer about Rupa Goswami, describes that he was chanting Hare Krishna. Now he's describing about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how Lord Chaitanya was chanting very loudly. So they were always engaged in chanting the names of Krishna and singing and dancing. These are the primary activities. We have many activities in our Krishna conscious movement. The most important activity is to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And actually, chant Hare Krishna, then you must be happy. If you're actually chanting Hare Krishna, then you can't be unhappy. Sometimes we see, usually some newer devotees, they look a little miserable or something like this. It means they're not chanting Hare Krishna properly. Because if you actually chant Hare Krishna, then where is the unhappiness? There is no unhappiness. So chanting Hare Krishna and dancing, and they were Premamritabdo Nidhi. They were in the ocean of transcendental nectar. And they wanted to bring that ocean to others. So for that purpose, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Sadharma Samsthapako Lokanam Hitakarino. They were engaged in studying all the different scriptures. Nowadays we have, you see, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote these books, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, his topmost contribution. These four books Prabhupada mentioned. Bhagavad Gita as it is, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the four books. And Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada later expanded, or rather the Teachings of Lord Chaitanya was taken, the essence of the teachings of Chaitanya Charitamrita was taken, and later Prabhupada translated the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. So all of Prabhupada's books are important, but Prabhupada wrote that these four books are sufficient for preaching. And as Prabhupada said, that everything you need to become fully Krishna conscious is in my books. He also said that all the Vaishnava literature should be translated into English and distributed all over the world. He also encouraged his disciples to write books. But he also said that everything you need to be fully Krishna conscious is in my books. So what Prabhupada has put in his books is the essence of what all the acharyas have given. Before Prabhupada, there are so many acharyas who, we see here the six Goswamis, they studied all the different books and they gave comments, just like you'll read in Prabhupada's comments on Srimad Bhagavatam. You'll be quoting from so many different scriptures. Now, Prabhupada didn't personally research all these scriptures, but when Prabhupada was traveling around the world, he brought with him Srimad Bhagavatam with many, there's one book in Sanskrit, a very big book, with different commentaries of the acharyas. And the previous acharyas, they had studied so many different scriptures, and therefore they'll give a quote. Madhvacharya gives a quote from the Matsya Purana. These are very deeply learned scholars. We can imagine just to read Srimad Bhagavatam takes how much time? Just, there's 18,000 verses. And then you'll find different Puranas, so many different verses. And there are so many literatures, practically unlimited, the Vedic literatures. But the previous acharyas took the trouble to study all these different books and collect the essence and systematically put that within the Srimad Bhagavatam commentary. Just like sometimes we'll find some point in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the gloss is given. That means that is further explained by, that can be further explained by a verse from, just like that, Matsya Purana, Kurma Purana. So the acharyas have given their commentaries. It means Srimad Bhagavatam is already completely perfect in itself, but just that word is there, gloss. Gloss means a commentary. Gloss also means that which makes the wood shine, like a varnish. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is already there, but when the acharyas give their commentaries, then that makes it. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is always perfect, but then when the devotees decorate Krishna with their loving sentiment, Krishna is already beautiful, but he appears more beautiful. The gopis, they dress Krishna, and the devotees, they're also given deity worship to dress Krishna. Now, of course, Krishna's the reservoir of all beauty and of all perfection. So when ornaments are put on Krishna, actually the ornaments become more beautiful. Not that Krishna's already supremely beautiful. So in the same way, when the acharyas comment on Srimad Bhagavatam and on different Vedic literatures, it is actually, Krishna is inspiring them. Krishna is giving them the transcendental intelligence to glorify him in different ways. And this is another process of Krishna Kirtan. Kirtan means singing, dancing, playing musical instruments. That is Kirtan. Kirtan also means glorification. The 9 processes of devotional service are described by Prahlad Maharaj. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. And these 9 processes, Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion has given an example of 9 devotees who achieved all perfection, each one by following one different process. So in the Kirtan section, who has perfected his life by Kirtan, the example is given is Vyasaki, which means Shukadev Goswami. He has achieved all perfection by glorifying Krishna. Now, Shukadev Goswami, when we say he was doing Kirtan, he wasn't doing Kirtan with kartals and mridanga, but he was glorifying Krishna by explaining the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, similarly, devotees, they comment on Srimad Bhagavatam. It's already perfect, but the devotees are inspired to comment more and more. Even the Bhagavatam, that's said at the very beginning, Shukamakad Amrita Drava Sangyutam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is already Nigamakalpataro Galitam Phalam. It's already the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. But when Shukadev Goswami takes that fruit, then it becomes even sweeter. It's already sweet, it's already perfect. But Shukadev Goswami, by his glorification, makes it more sweet. Shuka, you know, that also means parrot. So the example is given, just like the mangoes on the tree. You probably don't have mangoes here. But the mangoes, if it's on the tree, it's already ripe. So the parrots like to come and take that and eat a little. And if the parrot eats a little, then you take that same mango. It's already very sweet and very nice. King of fruits. But if the parrot takes it, then again it becomes more sweet. So in the same way, the Srimad Bhagavatam is Grantharaj, the king of all books. But when Shukadev Goswami describes, then it becomes more relishable still. So in the same way, all the acharyas, they describe, they give their commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, the many commentaries, especially Srila Prabhupada often referred to the commentary. There are many commentaries. He often referred to the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and of course to Sridhar Swami, who was the original commentator, and many other commentators, Madhvacharya, Sanatana Goswami, Veera Raghava Acharya, he's quoted different commentators. There's one other book he used to carry, which was a Bengali commentary by his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So there are so many points there. In the Bhagavatam, in the text that we have, many of the points, they may not appear to be clear. Now, when Shukadev was speaking to Parikshit, in that time, place, circumstance, and context, Parikshit understood what Shukadev Goswami was saying, just like Arjuna understood what Krishna was saying. Krishna made the point, sometimes Arjuna didn't quite catch it, then again he would ask questions and Krishna would explain. And there it was, 700 verses, within 1 hour, Arjuna has understood Bhagavad Gita. In the same way, Parikshit Maharaj, within 7 days of listening, he understood Srimad Bhagavatam. But then, other listeners, they may not be as astute hearers and so expert to understand as Arjuna and Maharaj Parikshit. So then other questions may come. The Parikshit Maharaj, he asked certain questions, but there may have been many other questions which he could have asked, which he didn't ask, just like we see when we have Bhagavatam class, and different questions come up. Well, how is this and why is that? So many of these questions, they've been answered by the acharyas. There are so many examples, just like there is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is describing how he took up this study of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Adhitavan dvaparado, pitur dvaiparayanayaraham. He said that I took up this study of Srimad Bhagavatam from my father, Dvaipayana means Vyasadeva, who was born on an island. That's the meaning of the name. Dwaparado. So Dwarpa-ado means at the beginning of Dwarpa Yuga. So this doesn't appear to make sense, because from the other accounts given in Bhagavatam and other scriptures, it's very clear that Vyas appeared at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, not at the beginning, and he taught Shukadeva, his son, at that time. There's a Vyas at the end of every Dwarpa Yuga, because up to that time, the Vedic literature is simply heard and remembered. That's why it's called Shruti and Smriti. Shruti means that which is heard, Smriti means that which is remembered. So simply by hearing, the students were so sharp that they would remember everything. But in Kali Yuga, people are manda sumanda matiyo, manda bhagya hi upadruta, not at all qualified for understanding the Vedic literatures. Their life is very short. Prayanal payasa sabya kalavasmin yugajan. Their life is short. They're stupid, no brains, and bad luck. Their mind is always disturbed. So many disqualifications. So no brains means that the Vedic literatures have to be written down. So a Vyas comes at the end of every Dwarpa Yuga and writes down the Vedic literatures for the people of Kali Yuga. So how is it Dwaparado? And here in this verse it's written at the beginning of Dwarpa Yuga. So Jiva Goswami gives the explanation that just like a tree, sometimes you can see the top part of the tree first, which in the beginning is the root and the top part is the end. But if you see it first, then it could be said the beginning. So he's given some explanation, and so many points are explained. Exactly, you see Krishna's leelas in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the leelas, they're all given quite briefly actually, just like you'll find in other Puranas. All these stories are told in more detail. So sometimes to explain some point, the different acharyas, they'll give some explanation like this. Now particularly, the six Goswamis, they studied all the different Vedic literatures for the point, sadharma samsthapako, for the point of establishing what is actually the point of religion. That has been questioned. That was one of the questions of the rishis at Naimisharanya, headed by Suta Goswami. They asked Shonak Rishi, they said to him that you are very learned, you know, you have studied all the Vedic literatures except some parts which may not be so important anyway. You're very learned in the Vedic literatures. You're very much elder. So we would like to ask you, actually, what is the real purpose of the Vedic literatures? And on the basis of this, Suta Goswami spoke the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, in which he clearly established the absolute truth is Lord Sri Krishna from the very beginning, quoting Vyasadeva, He established the absolute truth. Janmadhyasya yitam vyadhyatirasas chateshva vignyasvarat tenne brahma hridaya adhikavye muhyanti yat suryaha tejo vari mridangyata vinmayo yatra tisargamsha dhamna asvena sada nirastaku akang satyang param dhimahi. In one verse, the whole tattva, the whole understanding of the absolute truth is described. Bhaktisthan Sasar Thakur described this one verse for 30 days, 2 hours lecture every day, never repeating any point. Just so you can see, oh, just one verse. And someone will say, I read Srimad Bhagavatam, I finished it. You can't even finish one verse, even if in your whole life. You take one word, Swarat, God means God is independent. You just discuss that on and on and on. One word you can take. So anyway, the absolute truth has been described very clearly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The absolute truth is Vasudev. He is Param Satyam. He is the supreme absolute truth. It is he who is to be meditated upon. And these are some of his qualities and characteristics. Janmadhyasya yataha. The definition of the Upanishadic references. The Upanishads state that the absolute truth is that from which everything emanates, in which everything rests, in which everything is dissolved. Yatova imani bhutani jayanti yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhisang vishanti tad vijigyasasva tad brahmeti. The Vedic literature has described that the absolute truth is that which I just said, from which everything comes, in which everything rests, in which everything again goes in. That is the point of discussion. That is what should be asked about. That is the point of discussion. That is the absolute truth. But what exactly is that absolute truth? Here is described, janmadhyasya yataha. The same point. Janma adi means beginning with creation and then maintenance and then destruction. What is that janmadi asya yataha? That is param satyam. That is Vasudev, Krishna. So, everything is described very clearly in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, the original form of the personality of Godhead. So, that absolute truth is clearly defined in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra by the author of the Vedanta Sutra. But just to establish all these points systematically, especially Jiva Goswami, in his Sandarbhas, has, for those who will doubt, they will say, well, maybe not this, maybe not that. Anyway, why should we accept Srimad Bhagavatam? He has very systematically analyzed the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. First of all, establishing that the absolute truth is to be known through the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, what are those different truths which are to be understood? That who is Krishna? How he is the absolute truth? How is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How we are all His servants? How we are not equal to Him? We are not one with God, nor can we ever become one with God in every respect. So all these points have been gathered up, taking Srimad Bhagavatam as the most important evidence, as is established by Vyasadeva himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that after compiling all the different Vedic literatures, taking orders from Narad Muni, he compiled that literature in which there was only glorification of Krishna, nothing else. In other Vedic literatures, sometimes there is glorification of Krishna. But then again, you'll find some glorification of some demigod or some glorification of some lesser process of spiritual cultivation. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda. So Narad Muni rejected this. Jugupsitam, it is abominable. Why have you described all these things? People will be misled. Naishkamyam apyachuta bhavavarjitam na shobate jnanam alang niranjanam. Kutapana shashvadabhadramishvare na charpitam karma yadapyakaranam. He describes that. You have described all this jnana marg and people will become big intellectuals and twist their brains in different ways, but they won't understand anything unless they understand Krishna. I want to speak of this karma kanda, which is just fruitive activities, which is suffering, beginning, middle, and end, with hardly any reference to any higher understanding. So Narad Muni smashed him and told him, you should now describe only Krishna. Now you're on. And so that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama Kalpatar or Galitam Phalam. It is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. So, just to establish this point, it's already established in Srimad Bhagavatam, but to establish without any trace of doubt, so to silence all the mundane wranglers who will argue this way and that way and say, but this, but that, why should we believe this? Then again, Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbhas has given all the points of philosophy. No one can defeat, no one even trying to defeat. And other books are there also. This Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada's translated as The Nectar of Devotion. So many quotes from so many different scriptures. Now we're reading Nectar of Devotion. Very nice how we can read how all the different points are there. Pure devotional service surpasses liberation. The glories of devotional service. What are the glories of devotional service? And it starts off. That's this verse you had on the board. No, it's gone off. That, I think you were listening to it this morning. That kleshagni shubhada mokshala ghuta krit. It's different. What are these glories of devotional service? So the first one, pure devotional service destroys all miseries. Pure devotional service bestows all auspiciousness. Moksha laghuta krit. It makes moksha, liberation, which is considered the highest attainment for those on the Vedic path. Dharma, artha, moksha. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha is considered the highest. Following religious principles, getting money, enjoying sense gratification in a pious way. And finally, getting free from all this nonsense and becoming liberated. So moksha is considered the most important. But then, in relationship to pure devotional service, it is insignificant. Therefore, moksha laghuta krit. Laghu means very small. And krit means that which makes. So, pure devotional service means that it makes moksha, liberation, seem very insignificant. And sudurlabha, very rarely attained. Sandrananda visheshatma is the fills everyone with, those who practice it, with transcendental happiness. And Shri Krishna Akarshani Chasa. And it has, pure devotional service is power, so powerful that it has the power to attract Krishna. Krishna is attracting everybody, therefore his name is Krishna. That's the meaning of the name Krishna. Attracts everybody. But pure devotional service attracts Krishna. Therefore pure devotional service is more powerful than Krishna. So this is how Rupa Goswami starts his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He analyzed all the different scriptures and selected what are the qualities of pure devotional service described in the different literatures. And then he made a summary, 6 points. What are the qualities of pure devotional service? And then each point, first one, kleshagni. Pure devotional service destroys all miseries. And then he'll give so many quotes from different scriptures showing different quotes by devotees and by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Most from Srimad Bhagavatam, but from all the wide range of Vedic literatures, showing conclusively that definitely, according to the opinion of all the scriptures, pure devotional service destroys all kinds of material miseries, even from the very beginning when someone takes up devotional service. Then immediately his miseries, they all diminish and go away. Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja ahang tam sarvapapebhyo mukshi shami masucha. There's one evidence. Lord Krishna says, whoever surrenders to me, I take away all the sinful reactions. Don't worry. I'm Krishna. I'm saying it. So in this way, all the different points he has analyzed. What are the 9 processes of devotional service? What are the symptoms of someone who's actually becoming advanced in devotional service, who is situated in bhava bhakti? then he's given the symptoms and evidences from scripture. Kshanti, first, who's becoming advanced, who's achieved the level of ecstatic love of God. Kshanti means that he is very tolerant of all different situations. And an example is given in this case, Parikshit Maharaj. The example is given of Parikshit Maharaj, who, even though all of us, he was the big king, emperor of the world, and all of a sudden you have to die in 7 days. Be completely tolerant, not disturbed. So this is an example. So in this way, the Goswamis, they have studied so many different books. So now we don't have to study so many books. We can pick up Nectar of Devotion, and the essence of all those books is there. What are the glories of devotional service? How to execute pure devotional service? Offenses to be avoided? What are the qualities of Sri Krishna? That is his design. Therefore he comes to this world and speaks Bhagavad Gita. Therefore he sends his devotees. So that is his desire, and to explain that in what detail. You see, Arjuna, he simply heard, always think of Krishna. So immediately, all right. And he always thought of Krishna. Anyway, he was always thinking of Krishna. But because we are dull-headed and foolish, then we have to have big, big books to explain why we should think of Krishna. And we will ask so many questions, and we'll deny. Why should I not think of Michael Jackson, who is blessing Ljubljana by bringing his foolish presence to this place? And but why should we not think of Michael Jackson? We should think of Krishna. So then people would say, why should we think of Krishna? There are so many different examples. Just like one time, someone asked Prabhupada, why should we chant Hare Krishna? What benefit is there in chanting Hare Krishna? So this could be answered in so many ways. Prabhupada said, it stopped death. Well, that's quite a benefit. They think, what benefit? Hare Krishna, what is the benefit? Because a materialistic person will measure benefit. You don't get any money from it. And when you look at the cigarette advertisement, you see a man is smoking a cigarette and a beautiful girl is coming. So when we give Hare Krishna advertisement, we don't say, chant Hare Krishna, a beautiful girl will come. So you don't get beautiful women and you don't get money. So what do you get from chanting Hare Krishna? It stops death. Oh, he never thought of any such thing. Stop death. He never thought there could be such a benefit. So you need so many big, big books to explain a very simple thing. Actually, if you just take, even if it's just this two words joined as one word, manana, always think of me. Just if we can understand that, then our whole spiritual life is complete and perfect, and you don't have to do anything else. Arjuna understood it. Actually, Arjuna, he didn't even need the Bhagavad Gita spoken. He was already a pure devotee. But Krishna had to speak it to him, because if he spoke it to a non-devotee, they'd never understand. They'd say, well, but what about this and that? And that's going on. We tell people, just chant Hare Krishna, and they say, but this and that. He's already a pure devotee. But Krishna had to speak it to him, because if he spoke it to a non-devotee, they'd never understand. They'd say, well, but what about this and that? And that's going on. We tell people, well, just chant Hare Krishna, and they say, but this and but that, and well, I don't think so, maybe some other time. And they have so many excuses. So therefore, we have so many books just to explain the very simple point, always to think of Krishna. Krishna Kirtana. Always glorify Krishna. And in our Krishna conscious movement, we're preaching in so many ways. Sometimes people come and they say, oh, do you have vegetarian food? Yes, we have vegetarian food. We don't have vegetarian food. We're not interested in vegetarian food. We have Krishna Prasada. Who's interested in vegetarian food? What a useless thing. We have Krishna Prasad. That's vegetarian food. The pigeons are eating vegetarian food. We're not interested in it. But we're interested in Krishna Prasad, which is something completely different to vegetarian food. Because vegetarian food is just vegetarian food. But vegetarian food, which is offered to Krishna, and then his saliva gets mixed with that, and you take that, and that's transcendental food. But people come and say, oh, you have we have vegetarian food. We don't. All right, just take that prasad. Maybe after some time you can understand. This is not vegetarian food. This is prasadam. They don't understand. So, all right, yeah, vegetarian food. For you, vegetarian food. We'll tell you. And then Indian culture. We'll speak Indian culture. Please come, we have some Indian culture. What Indian culture? Well, what do we care for? India. I mean, India is just it's another place in the universe where birth, death, old age and disease are going on. But if we tell, here is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrender to him. Indian culture. That sounds interesting. That sounds interesting. All right. Some Indian culture. What is Indian culture? Surrender to Krishna. It's real Indian. That's culture. There is no culture outside. Anything else except surrender to Krishna is not cultured anyway. It's all non-culture. Asanskriti. Non-culture. They have this cult. They think you will be aristocratic. Lords and ladies. Do they have those in Slovenia? Not after the communist time, that's for sure. But they used to have these lords and ladies. So the aristocracy with their coats of arms, and they'll go hunting stags and shoot them, and this is considered very aristocratic, at least in England, that they will shoot these deer, you know that? The deer, the animal. So then there are two things that this is considered very aristocratic. Deer and pheasant is one kind of bird. Then when you kill them, you hang up the meat. And when it becomes very smelly, and when the maggots are falling out of it, then you cook it. And that's considered very aristocratic. And very aristocratic means you have to drink certain kinds of wine, very high-class wine. Now, how can wine be high-class? It's automatically low class. But they're thinking, we are very aristocratic, therefore we're drinking high class wine. The best wine. You can appreciate the taste. It's very good taste. But it's completely low class even to drink any kind of wine. But this is their idea. Very aristocratic. This is what they call culture. We have culture. Culture means to chant Hare Krishna. Culture means that I quoted that this morning, I'll quote it again. Vidyapurna Maharaj in Gurukul Maharaj, they call him, maybe you know. He comes here sometimes, doesn't he? So he was saying, culture means when you go to Pastul, you take water in a lota and you walk away and go in the field, and then you Pastul and you take bath in the river. That is culture. And modern life means culture, very sophisticated living. You pass stool in the same house you live in. It's completely uncultured. You're living in the same house and passing stool in the same house. And this is considered advancement of civilization. So they have no idea what is culture. And culture, they call pop culture. I mean, just like this Michael Jackson. That's culture? That's what they call culture? Some guy jumping around, screaming. He's already screaming and he has a microphone, so it becomes even louder. And what culture? So they have no idea what is actual culture. Culture means to culture Krishna consciousness. Krishna Anushilanam. That verse. How does that verse begin? Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Kamadhyana Vritam. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Rutama. Pure devotional, or the topmost standard of devotional service, is described as giving up all desires for sense gratification on the gross platform, giving up all desires for sense gratification on the intellectual platform, and favorably cultivating Krishna consciousness. Cultivation. Anushila. Shila means good character. So Anushilan means following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas to cultivate the character of devotional service, to serve Krishna. So this is the culture which the six Goswamis taught. Previously, they were very aristocratic by worldly standards. What is that that's given here? What is that verse? Tatva turnamashesha mandala pati shrinin sada tuchavat. They were previously Sanatan Goswami was the prime minister of this Nawab Hussein Shah. And Rup Goswami was his finance minister. So they were very aristocratic. They were in the court, and so many pundits were coming, and they were speaking Persian, Arabic, Sanskrit, Bengali, so many languages. Very high society. People of high society. But they gave it up, all up, tuchavat, as if it was completely insignificant. For what to do? Bhudva dina ganesha ko karunaya kopina kantashrito. Before they were vastly wealthy. Rupa Goswami, when he left his government service, his earnings, he took one boat full of gold. That was his earning. He took that away. Vastly rich. Then they came to live under a different tree every night. And they were wearing kopin, means just some torn cloth they used for underwear. And kanta. Kanta means one kind of quilt, which is made from torn cloth. You see, in this consumer civilization, everything, they simply, something's broken, throw it away. Get a new one. But in traditional cultures, still in Bengal, everyone has this, in the villages, everyone has this kanta, means one kind of quilt, means when your cloth gets old, some holes in it, then you don't just throw it away, but you use it, you keep all that old cloth, and then the ladies, they make one quilt, patchwork quilt. They sew, they take all the piece of cloth and sew it all together, and they tear up all the old piece of cloth and put it inside. And then all the cloth, if the cloth is not wasted, you use that and you have a quilt and it keeps you warm in the winter. That way nothing is wasted. So this, of course, the richer people, they won't bother. They also won't throw it away, any old cloth, but they'll give it to the poor people. And the poor people will use the old cloth. When it gets too old, they'll tear it up. So it means kanta, that is used for poor people. But the six Goswamis, they were so rich before, and now just kopin, underwear, and kanta, this quilt to keep them warm in the winter. That's all they had. And no residence, under a different tree every night. But, Gopi Bhavara Samritabdila Hari Kalola Magno Muhur, they were not unfortunate. They were not feeling themselves to be in a depressed condition because I had so much money, now I lost it. They were very happy. Oh, I gave up that association of lords and ladies, and now I'm very lucky because able to live in Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna and no material possessions to bother me and no materialistic people to bother, because if you have a lot of money, then you'll have a lot of friends. But what kind of friends? They all want to take away something from you. So useless, worse than useless friends. That's why money doesn't bring happiness. Money brings unhappiness, because if you have money, then so many people will come to you just trying to take it from you in various ways. It just brings so many anxieties. Unless you use it for Krishna. Even then it brings some anxiety, but that's transcendental anxiety. So anyway, the Goswamis, they gave up all materialistic associations as if it was insignificant, and they were very happy to live under a tree, chant Hare Krishna, and write books, study the scriptures, performing their service to Krishna. So Prabhupada said this, that our devotees, they should actually be ready, they should be satisfied in any condition. Even if they have to live under a tree, they should be happy. Oh, very nice. Krishna has given this. Of course, in the modern age, especially, we may not be so very advanced, and especially in Europe, it may not be very practical to live under trees, especially in the winter. Even in the summer, if you just lived under a tree, maybe the police would give you some trouble. They might do. So, all right. we'll build some building. Devotees can live here and chant Hare Krishna. One time, one life member in Vrindavan was asking Srila Prabhupada that the six Goswamis, they lived under a different tree every night. And you are in the disciplic succession from them. Then why are you building this big temple just like a palace? So Prabhupada laughed. He said, if I simply sit under a tree, no one will come to hear my message. They don't think he's just some beggar living under a tree. But if I build a big temple, then everyone will think, oh, he's a very important Swami. Let's go and listen to what he says. So I don't need this temple. I can sit under a tree. But you need it because you're such a fool that you think someone, if he has a big temple, then he's important. So, for you. And so many people are coming. Prabhupada's vision was that time Krishna Balaram temple was, that time in Vrindavan town, hardly anyone was going, just some pilgrims were going, not like now. Some widows from Bengal were living there. And you think it's run down now, it's much more run down then. And you see now that town of Vrindavan is there, you know, that Loi Bazaar, Anaj Mandi, Gopinath Bazaar. You know, if you've been to Vrindavan, mostly the devotees know Loi Bazaar, but there are different bazaars also. So between Loi Bazaar and our temple, there was nothing much. Our temple was just, there were hardly any temples in the way. It was actually outside the town. Now the town has extended. So many people are coming to Vrindavan. So many people are coming to see this temple. At that time, people might have thought, why build a temple there? It's not even in the town. No one goes in that area. And why build it there? It's just in some remote place. But now it's not remote. Everyone who goes to Vrindavan must visit that Krishna Balaram temple. So Prabhupada had that vision. Same thing in Bombay. That Juhu at that time, that was considered outside the city of Bombay. And just on some broken down lot. And why should you build it? Why should you put millions of dollars to build a temple there? Of all places. Who will come to such a place? Who will come? Nowadays, who won't come? You meet any Indian person, especially if they're, well, if they're from the west, north, or actually on the eastern side, they go to Mayapur more. But other parts of India, they'll say, oh, I've seen your Bombay temple. If you meet any Indian person, you generally often, I've seen your Bombay temple. Everyone will go. If anyone goes to Bombay, their friends will take them, or their relatives will take, or they'll just go themselves to see. Even though it's not in the city center, it's quite a long distance, it's an hour's journey, and traveling 1 hour in Bombay is not like traveling 1 hour in Slovenia. It's no fun, whatever kind of transport you have. But people are going, and they see. So Prabhupada, he had that vision that this is how we should spread Krishna consciousness, build these big temples, write these books, distribute these books. So in the same way, the six Goswamis, they were sitting in Vrindavan and writing books. And then who would say, what did they do for Krishna consciousness? They were just sitting in Vrindavan and writing some books. But he had the vision that so many people will come to Krishna consciousness in future. So we have to write the books. And then later on those books, Prabhupada, he took the essence of those books, translated them in English. Now they're translated in all the languages of the world. All the major languages and many of the minor languages also. So the people all over the world can read these books, take the benefit, and glorify the six Goswamis. We're very thankful to them because they compose so many books. And we're very thankful to all the acharyas who have propagated Krishna consciousness, written so many books for our upliftment. And we're especially thankful to Srila Prabhupada, who is the representative of all the acharyas, who has presented everything they have presented in a manner that is just suitable for us. Otherwise, how can we understand? You see, we're singing this song. Krishna Kirtana Gana Natanapa. We don't understand. Whether you're English speaking like me or Slovenian speaking like you, this is a foreign language to us, and it's a very complex language. Exactly what are the meanings? If you read Prabhupada's books for many years, then many of the words you can pick up. Krishna, that word we pick up very soon. Then Kirtan, that's another word we pick up. Then Udkirtan, we may not understand so much, but anyway. Gana, that's another common word. Song. Nartan. If you read Prabhupada's books enough, you'll pick up many of these. Nartan means dancing. Paro, in this case, means that they are attached to that. Then prema means pure devotional service, love of Krishna. Amrit means nectar. Ambho nidhi means two words, which both means an ocean. So like this, you can gradually pick up the words. But after all, these are foreign languages to us. But we're singing. Why are we singing in Sanskrit, some song praising the six Goswamis? Because this is the culture that we have received. We've received the gift of Krishna consciousness. Such a wonderful thing that we're attracted to them. Even though we don't understand all the words, but even by singing, even if you don't understand the words, of course the translation is there, then we feel the presence of the six Goswamis. We're glorifying these qualities. You can read all these verses, wonderful prayers, glorifying the six Goswamis. What wonderful personalities, how they were always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and practicing their own Krishna consciousness and performing activities for the welfare of others. So now, Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo, they are glorified all over the three worlds. They're already great devotees like the six Goswamis. They're already glorified by the demigods in the heavenly planets. But now they're also being glorified in Slovenia, in Slovakia, in Japan, in Thailand, all over the world. People are coming to this Krishna consciousness and feeling such appreciation. So nice. We were just spoiling our lives, wasting our lives. Not only this life, but so many lives we wasted. Now we have the gift of Krishna consciousness. So let us praise those devotees who are bringing this to us. There's a great chain. Parampara means chain, coming from Krishna. So there's a great chain coming from Krishna to Brahma, and then to Narad, Vyas, Madhva, then down to a disciplic succession. Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, six Goswamis, Krishnadas Kaviraj, Narottam Das. Like this, great chain is coming. And chain is still going on. And we are very grateful to all the great devotees who have all made the endeavor to help others, dedicated their life to help others. That is the center of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava lives for the benefit of others. He doesn't live for his own benefit. His whole life is dedicated for welfare activities for others. Not welfare activities, opening hospitals to treat people's bodies so they can again become fit for sense gratification, but giving them knowledge of Krishna, highest benefit. And we're grateful to all the acharyas that I was saying in the beginning of the lecture. Any devotee who helps us to come up in Krishna consciousness, you may be very thankful also. Not that everyone's a great acharya, not that everyone can become a great acharya, but anyone who takes the time and trouble to help us, explain some point to us, they may not be a very big, big, famous devotee, but anyone who helps, we should be very grateful. And we should reciprocate that by also trying to help others. Those who are in Krishna consciousness little time, they can take the trouble to speak to other devotees, explain some point, especially if someone is coming newly. It may be very difficult for them to understand because it is a different culture. They're brought up in this culture. People are thinking this is reality. This driving in around in cars and earning money and going to parties and getting drunk. People take this as reality. Happy family life, live at home, dog is licking you. This is their life. They're considering this is normal, nice life. And they come here and it's completely different. Everything they say, we say something different. They say, yes, watching TV is nice. We say, no, it's not. If you watch Prabhupada on TV, that's very nice. But watching all those things you watch, no, useless. Smoking cigarettes, no. Living in this material world is nice, no. Whatever they say, we say something different. They come in and you see people dressed like this. You have these books we're giving, they never saw any books like this. Right? What books they read? Books in school, the history of Slovenia, mathematics books, 2 plus 2 equals 4. In geography books, Ljubljana is the capital of Slovenia. And here are some books. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the 6 Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami. And they can't even pronounce, they never even saw books. What are all those lines doing on the letters? What does that mean? Difficult for them to understand. So devotees, they help them, bring them in, so just give them some prasadam, explain to them some different points. Help them to try to understand. People are suffering because they don't know Krishna. So a devotee, always following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, always tries to help others in whatever capacity. You may think, well, how can I help? What can I do? You can do, because however much we may think we are fallen, and it may be true, we're very fortunate because we've come to Krishna consciousness. And others who haven't come to Krishna consciousness, they're not fortunate. So we may be, alright, so here we are, we're trying to chant Hare Krishna, mind is not controlled, senses are not controlled, mind is weak, we're struggling. But we know, even if theoretically, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even not theoretically, we've accepted it that much that we've taken it up in our lives, we've made a big step, that means we accept Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, why are we following these things? We've come a long way. Even the big yogis, they may not accept it. Mostly they don't. That's why they're big yogis. Because they don't accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they become big yogis. But they don't understand Krishna. And here's our new devotee. He's chanting Hare Krishna. And struggling. Hare Krishna. He's struggling. But he's chanting. Some way or other. He's very fortunate. And who's not chanting Hare Krishna, he may look at the devotee. Just recently I was in London. I was walking in the street chanting Hare Krishna. And there was the bus driver in the traffic jam. He looked at me. He went like this, as if to say, how he's wasting his life. And I looked at him. You're wasting your life. They're unfortunate. They're spoiling their life. They don't know what is Krishna consciousness. So, we have to somehow or other try to give people Krishna consciousness. Help them. Help people to come to Krishna consciousness. Give them Prabhupada's books. The best way to preach Krishna consciousness. The Prabhupada said, know it for certain that there is no better way to preach Krishna consciousness than to distribute my books. So distribute books, distribute prasad. You can go to people and say, we have some nice vegetarian food. Oh, very nice. Prasad, Krishna prasad. Chant Hare Krishna. Unless there's a compelling reason not to do so, those who are devotees living in the temple community, you can also, when you walk out on the street, wear devotee clothes with tilak, so people will look and say, Hare Krishna. You see, if you're going, maybe you're going out to buy some milk or something, you can also wear tilak and these clothes, and people say, oh, Hare Krishna. And if they say Hare Krishna, you may not think, well, he said Hare Krishna and he's just the same, or even they're not saying, they're just thinking. They have to think of Krishna if they see you. So you see, they look at you and then they walk off down the street, but they saw you and they thought of Krishna. And that's the most significant thing they did in millions of lifetimes. That is great benefit for them. Unlimited, immeasurable benefit. Just by seeing a devotee who's wearing tilak and dressed in devotee clothes, they think of Krishna. They don't know anything about being about the Vedic process or anything. But we can tell them that if you once think of Krishna, that's better than performing thousands of Ashwamedha yagyas. They don't know what an Ashwamedha yagya is. We don't even know what an Ashwamedha yagya is. But it's better than if you studied all the Vedic literatures upside down, inside out. They also don't know what the Vedic literatures are. It's also better than if you performed yogic austerities for hundreds and thousands of years. Just by seeing a devotee, they think of Krishna. So that's another way. That's big preaching, just to dress as a devotee. And then people will ask, you'll find people will ask you, well,